Hello, good evening and welcome. Once again, it's In The Know, brought to you by the Racing Post and Boyle Sports. And we are refreshed after that post-Cheltenham break. And we're going to get stuck into some Easter action this weekend. We've got Nationals coming out of our ears over the next 7 days or so. And of course, the Irish Grand National, sponsored by Boyle Sports, is at Fairy House on Monday. And we're going to be having a good look at the horses who are lined up for that. Albeit, we don't have decks quite yet. But again, it is never a dull race, that's for sure. And a contest that... In many a year, you don't want to be going in at the top of the market either. So hopefully we can find a bit of value from our pundits today. We've also got two Grade 1s to look at Fairy House, and decent-sized fields continuing the theme of Cheltenham's big fields in the big races. And, of course, another big Saturday as well, with flat racing well and truly back. Doncaster last weekend, of course, at the all-weather finals today at Newcastle. Big fields at Lingfield and Newcastle today. Again, they continue on to Musselburgh on Saturday. And we've got plenty of racing at Haydock as well. We've got a couple of finals we've been going through the qualifiers to pick out some angles in the handicap hurdle and the veterans chase as well. What do you like about the weekend? What are you looking at? Will you be getting stuck into Fairy House? Have you already had some anti-post bets on the Irish Grand National? Let us know, because we are live and interactive as ever on YouTube. So like, subscribe and let us know your selections in the chat. And hello to everyone who is watching right now. Like I said, we've got the Boyle Sports Irish Grand National coming up on Monday. We'll end the show by going through as many runners as we possibly can in that contest. But first, let's get stuck into the weekend with our panel. And of course, the punter's pal and everyone, borderline national treasure by this point, in the studio, Mr. Paul Keeley. Keels, how are you doing?
Not sure the punter's pal. I got off the cold list for the first time in half a month today.
Yes, but you're probably not the only punter who's done that.
I've been having some, I went through having loads of places at Cheltenham and in a couple of weeks afterwards. I thought, this has got to break soon. I've got to have a winner. And then last week, everything fell out the back of the telly. And I thought, I just don't know what I can do to get a winner. But I had a good bet on Wiltshire this afternoon. And everything's all right with the world again. Hopefully, sign of things to come. But who knows?
And again, it's... It almost looks obvious when you look at it. Course form, and you think William Haggis in the first couple of weeks of the flat season, and I don't know, maybe it's about to turn because maybe you just had... maybe you had enough of the jump season.
I certainly haven't had enough of the jump season. I think that one just stood out, and anybody could have found it, really. But, it's just one of those, isn't it? It was a silly price to start with, 12s the night before. Sevens was pretty darn big, to be fair, when it went off at.
Yeah. There's a lot going on this weekend. Again, bank holiday weekends can be a bit chaotic. It pays to, I think, kind of sort the wheat from the chaff, as it were.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of, they're not brilliant races, but seriously competitive races on the CV tomorrow, aren't there? Plenty of them.
Yeah.
But you have got to pick and choose your battles. I have had a few bets myself already, though.
And the Fairy House Grade 1s in particular. I think punters sometimes forget that these Grade 1s are there. And maybe even some connections do as well, because, Cheltenham to Aintree to Punchestown.
Yeah, but we're used to small fields, aren't we? And they've turned out to be two crackers as well, haven't they?
Well, again, I mean, that's the, whatever, maybe it's the knock-on effect from changing the condition at Cheltenham. I don't know what it is, but whatever's happened, we've got two each way size fields.
Absolutely, yeah.
And no short price favourites in there. So lovely stuff. We'll be getting stuck into that very shortly. And we've got a big handicap chase on proceedings, and who better to have than Keith Melrose, who loves a staying handicap chaser. Again, as you wrote in your column a couple of weeks ago, the very antithesis to my punting preferences, Keith, but that's the balance of the show, and I can't wait for you to tell me about all the 5 and 6 minute replays you've been watching. And I can't hear you.
I can't hear anything.
Hang on, one sec. Have you muted yourself? Is the producer muted? Someone's muted you. We've lost you. Anyway, we might have to... Do you know Semaphore? I don't know. We'll have to... We'll come back to you, Mr. Melrose. Maybe we're going to have to start playing some replays back at this rate.
Yeah, we have a game of cards or something like that. And then watch it, can we? Do anything, really.
But, yeah.
Go for a pint.
Yeah. We'll have a pint, Keith, while you go through the Irish National. Hello to Andrew Ricketts, to Romping Home, to Paul Stokes, to Paul Lambert, to Connor, to Mark Reed, and to everyone else as well. What do you like on the chat? Let us know. Put your selections in capital letters, what you're going for. March de Ligre in the 2-12 at Haydock tomorrow for Romping Home. Before we get stuck into the weekend, we've had that post-Cheltenham break to a certain extent. I noticed Gary Moore had a couple of horses bolted but chaps off the back of Cheltenham runs. So
yeah, absolutely. I backed Blowy Waddle pretty much all season, including in the Great Wood and in the Ultima, and then I backed Ben Solo. This is how things have been going for me until the day I backed Ben Solo against him, and of course he comes sweeping by him after the last and won quite easily.
What do we think? So are we taking that? Because again, I mean, because the ground was a bit quicker at Cheltenham, is there a possibility that the horses weren't having incredibly hard races?
Well, yeah, absolutely. Well, anything that didn't get jarred up, I suppose, because it was unusually quick. But there's been a month, you know, best part of a month first going to Aintree, isn't there? It's a long break this time.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? It can be just over 2 weeks, can't it? You know, it's the full four this year, so...
Yeah.
So there shouldn't be many excuses, but we see time and again, some horses handle it, some don't.
Yeah. Very true. Right, Keith Melrose, Mark II, let's have another go. Hello.
Hello.
There we go. Look at that. Lovely dulcet tones there, Mr. Melrose. Yes, I was worried then because we've got a couple of big field handicap chasers on the card, and that's what you're here for.
That's exactly what I'm here for. I mean, to be fair, I don't watch as much in Ireland, but, you know, these are really interesting horses. And a good British representation this year, which you don't always get. Obviously, Haiti Couleurs won the race last year, but it's not often the case that you get a big British squad going over for the Irish National. But as you guys have been saying, we're getting tremendous fields this year just everywhere we look. I don't know what's happened, where it's come from.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe let's just enjoy it while it lasts, I guess. But... like you said, it's funny, isn't it? It only takes sometimes one horse, like a Haiti Couleurs, to win a race and for other trainers to think, oh, maybe we should target that race. It doesn't take a lot for trainers to suddenly maybe think there's an angle or an edge.
Well, it's interesting that it's taken like the really direct in-your-face route of Haiti Couleurs. Britain's been famously winning the Ultima and keeping Ireland at being that all the way through the Irish domination we've had in the last sort of 5-10 years. You know, staying handicap chases are somewhere where we can compete, national aside, where, to be honest, now it's ballot stuffing as much as anything else in the Grand National. But every other big field handicap chase, staying chase, Britain's competitive with Ireland in a way it's not in some other divisions. So I'm glad it's happening now. It probably shouldn't have taken Haiti Couleurs to do it, to be quite honest, but I'm glad it's here.
And just a quick word, because again, I mean, you think of most of your high profile staying chasers, you know, your Welsh Nationals, your actual Nationals, like you said, your Ultimas, and basically, most of them are run round left-hander tracks, aren't they? Is there anything else to bear in mind when we're looking at Fairy House in that respect, or is that just something you would ignore completely?
No, it's a fair enough point, because when I'm looking at, on the rare occasion I see a handicap chaser, a plodder that needs to go right-handed, you have to start thinking about the old Whitbread, the Bet365 World Cup. Whereas, you know, the Irish National, you do have that race, you have Fairy House. It is different from Sandown, isn't it? I mean, the Irish National, there's six fences in the last 6 furlongs at Fairy House or something. It's quite a... there's a lot of stopping and starting in the last stages, and also there's an uphill finish. It feels... you know, unlike maybe the Scottish National or the Welsh National, when there's only 3 or 4 left coming into the straight and they fight it out, like in the Grand National crossing the Melling Road and coming to 2 out, you often find there's 6, 7, 8 still in there. There's almost 3 races from 3 out sometimes in that Irish National, because they do seem, it's quite a stiff finish there, and they do end up quite slow motion. So it's a real, real test, that race.
Actually, you're right. And having said that, the race that it kind of makes me think of the most in terms of finish-wise is often the Thyestes, again, which can be sort of similar, as you do sort of get, you know, as you're around for home at Goran Park. And maybe it's the camera angles as well, slightly as well, that make you think, oh, there's 6 in with a chance here. So anyway, we'll begin.
Are you seeing Highland National with that camera angle as well, yeah?
Say that again.
Are you seeing Highland National with that finishing? Stiff, 3-mile 6, funny camera angle, right-handed.
I mean, to be fair, now I've said that, I'm trying to think, can you name a track that doesn't have a funny camera angle that makes you think there's more horses in with a chance. I don't know. There's not many of them. But anyway, we'll get to the big race very shortly indeed. Before we get stuck into the weekend again, don't forget we are sponsored by Boyle Sports, which is very apt for this weekend, of course. If you haven't signed up already, do so, and you'll get your money back as a free bet if you're second to the SP favourite. The link is in the description below, so go and sign up for a Boyle Sports account if you haven't done so already. But let's get stuck into the weekend action then. Like I said, we're going to have a bit of Haydock, a bit of Musselburgh, quite a bit of Fairy House, and then any other business as well, because there are 7,000 races over the next 3 days, like a good old-fashioned bank holiday. And we start off with the Potemps Network Challenger 2-mile hurdle series final handicap hurdle. Rolls off the tongue, doesn't it? Well, Red and Blue is 7-2 favourite here. Dance and Glance 4-1. Ice in the Veins 6s. Mr. McLaughlin is 13-2. Willie the Builder at 7-1 and 8-1. Bigger the rest here. There's 11 runners in here, and my initial impression of this, Keels, was I ruled quite a lot of them out quite quickly, and the ones I was interested in were all towards the top of the handicap.
That's the problem, isn't it? It's not incredibly deep, is it? I mean, you can certainly see the place for Red and Blue and his third to Mondo Man at Sandown, can't you? But I kept looking at this. I kept coming back to the top weight, Willie the Builder.
Yep.
Just been running so well until he ran in the county hurdle last time, and I thought he ran better than the bare facts there. I know he only beat 5 home, but he nearly got brought down at the fourth and something fell in front of him, and he made his ground up, you know, wasn't that far off from at the last, and then just weakened, and that's, you know, a very strong run race over a stiff 2 mile, 1 furlong, on all his better formers on sharper tracks, isn't it, at 2 mile, which is what he gets here. And as long as they don't get too much rain overnight, because I don't think he wants it bottomless either, he can handle a bit of soft ground, but I think he's still in good form. He's only £4 higher than when he bolted up under Toby McCain-Mitchell. He's got a really good record for the yard.
Yep.
I think he's only been out the first four once, and he's had 3 places at decent prices recently as well. I just think he'll run well again. He'll be there or thereabouts, won't he? Strong traveller, if they go hard enough.
He rode Beau Quelley yesterday.
Yeah, second,
he?
Yeah.
Second to a bit of a... Well, Gary Moore had a treble on the day, and if it hadn't have been for that one, he would have absolutely dotted up. So, yeah, OK. So, yeah, Willie the Builder, 7-1, and again, it'd be interesting to see, because that county hurdle was a bit of a mess in behind, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, yeah.
He basically had no chance of winning it from where he was.
No, none at all. But I still think, you know, although he's beaten 15 lengths and only beaten a handful home, I still think he ran quite well, and it suggested he's in reasonable nick. And he got dropped £2 for that, which is, he said £2 then, £2 for that, which is, well, I think that's reasonable enough.
Yeah. Okay, Willie the Builder then is a 7-1 shot. We're Red and Blue's the obvious one, I guess, to a certain extent. But I did keep looking, couldn't quite get away from Dance and Glance, Keith, who finished fifth in a valuable race here at the track last year back in May. It was a Swinton, of course, back in May last year. And that was only its second handicap start. And since then, I mean, the last time we saw this horse on good ground was at Sandown, when he ran into a bit of a handicap blot in All In You. And then next time out, got stuck in the mud, but still ran quite well in the big hurdle at Newbury. So, like I said, I kept coming back to the class horses in here, and Dance and Glance was the one that just kept niggling away at me.
Yeah, I mean, it obviously looks like he's been brought back specifically for this, and Anthony Honeyball's really good at targeting these sort of secondary races, you know, the ones just below the top tier, because he knows there's not the bottleneck of everybody lining them up for it. Whereas, to be fair though, this is a race where there's lots that have been hooked up for it, isn't there? And he's just one of several. I'm a little bit like both yourselves in that I struggled to look too far down the list, really. I'm actually with Keels in this, mainly with Willie the Builder. I think it was you I was speaking to at Cheltenham when I saw him running in the county hurdle, and I said, I don't think I'm going to back this horse for a county hurdle, but I can see myself backing him for like a Scottish champion hurdle this spring, because he does have a lot of speed. Mm. He's got a real finishing kick. Bailey knows how to run a bad race. And as Keels said, he can run right off the county. He was still in the last rank jumping two out, and then for maybe half a second, he was never troubling the winner, but he might have troubled the sixth places market on Betfair for half a second. So he's obviously not run as badly as 18th of 23 suggests there. So he's the main one I'm looking at in this race. Also had a little word, if you're looking a little bit further down, for Smart Decision, the Tim Easterby horse. He's another one that looks to have been laser focused at the race. You know, he finished a neck second to Brentford Hope, and I think if William Easterby hadn't steadied him into the last like he did, I think he might have won that race. And obviously Brentford Hope's a bit of a class apart from this sort of race, and since then he's got a slightly bigger price, as you think they've been working back to this race, and have actually got him in off a similar sort of mark to when he ran behind Brentford Hope. First time cheap pieces, James Bowen up. It has the look of a very obvious plot, and you know, people don't pay Tim Easterby as much heed over jumps now because he doesn't have anything like as many runners over jumps. But he still knows what he's doing in terms of getting these horses right for big prizes. And Smart Decision's exactly the sort of horse I can see running a bit of a race if you're going to look a little bit further down the betting.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and you get the feeling, you know, both choice of trip at Kelso and choice of jockey perhaps at Hexham last time out made you think that.
Yeah.
They'll help with the handicap mark, and he's down a few pounds from there. So, yes, okay. But Willie the Builder, the main pick for Keels, and main pick for you as well.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah, all right. Christian Williams as well in cracking forward, admittedly with staying handicap chasers, as you will well know, Keith. But like I said, Bo Quali went well yesterday. All right, that's the 2 mile handicap hurdle over at Haydock then. Let's go over to Musselburgh, back on the flat over at Musselburgh for one of their big races, big days of the season, of course. Got a listed race on the car. We've got, as ever, a big field for the sprint later on in the card as well, which we'll get to very shortly. But a mile and six for the Queen's Cup, and Gambino is 7-2 favourite. Moon Over Miami is 5-1. Dancing With Myself is also 5-1. Gentle Warrior 11-2. Wise Eagle is 30-2, 10-1. Bar those, again, a fascinating race. None more so than Moon Over Miami, who didn't Noel Chance train him about 15 years ago? I'm sure he was
Charlie Mann. Was it Charlie Mann?
Wasn't it? Yeah. Charlie Mann, wasn't it? In the green with the white stars. But hey. This is a different horse, of course. But one of the most interesting horses of the weekend here, Keith, in the shape of Gambino. And yeah, I would challenge you to find any horse running over the next 3 days with a similar profile to him.
Yeah, a horse that's been beaten by Constitution Hill, but on the flat. A Dan Skelton horse, you know, you can't win the jumps trainer's title by winning flat prizes, and yet he's lined this horse up for a flat handicap first time up. It's quite unskeleton-like because we've become so used to just looking at his horses when the big prize money's out, because every single big valuable prize in Britain this year, he's had a horse hooked up for it, and that's been why he's breaking records in terms of prize money. So yeah, it's really interesting that they've chosen to go the flat route with this horse.
Although the slightly interesting thing, because last year's winner ran in the Scottish Champion Hurdle and then came here. I did sort of look at him and think, is this a prep for the Scottish Champion Hurdle?
Well, he can't be, can he? He's only run once over hurdles.
Oh, of course he would. Yeah, he'll qualify. All right. So I'm trying to figure this horse out. Maybe I'm getting too obsessed with trying to figure
it
out.
Dan Skelton said they might go on to flat with him anyway when he did his stable tour. Because I think he was a little bit late in. And I just thought it was so eye-catching last time over hurdles.
Yeah.
As in, let's not lose his novice status this soon. So he's had a nice eye-catching run, good prep for this. Obviously, he was beaten 11 lengths by Constitution Hill, but he was giving him £7.
Yeah.
Yes, Constitution Hill won easily, but handicap-wise, he'd be £25 better off if they ran in a handicap. He's got a mark of 83. I mean, his last run for Noel Mead tells you he's better than that, because he was second in a handicap at Gower, and the winner Fleetfoot went up, I think, was placed in a Group 3 later on, went up £14. The third one, the Irish Says Next Time on the flat, went up £10, and he's just a pound higher in Britain.
And we're barely, you know, he's so unexposed as well, isn't he?
I mean, if he's not a mid-90s horse on the flat, I'll be staggered. You know what I mean? I still think he's good value at 7-2, 3-1.
So that's what you've just said then, maybe the light bulb's gone off there. Maybe it is the keeping the novice status for a big handicap hurdle next season and running him into good races on the flat now.
Potentially the grader. Who knows how good he is? He might be, he might turn into a decent novice hurdler, because he's going to have mid-90s ability on the flat, then he'll have a fair bit of class in novice hurdles as well.
Yeah.
So it's a case of wait and see what he's done there. But this is, I think it's his to lose, to be honest.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. I mean, there's plenty of questions over the the others, whether it's conditions or obviously fitness as well. I mean, a couple interested me, Keith. One was Dancing with Myself, because Michael Bell has just come back, you know, on fire this season. Usher Murphy in the saddle as well. She's not done with improving, I don't think. She was a bit disappointed in Soft Ground at the back end of last season, but she'd had a lot of races, and I think you can maybe put a line through that to a certain extent. And the other one was Sporting Silvermine, who won really nicely here over Shorter last year, and again then ran in some really good races. And the last time we saw Sporting Silvermine up against stayers was, you know, up against some very strong stayers, including Campaign Trail, who finished second or third over hurdles over 3 miles the other day. So again, they both looked to have ideal conditions to me, and if Gambino isn't a handicap block, which he might well be, then they were quietly progressive last year, and I think I've got a bit more to offer.
Yeah, it is a race that's deep all the way down. You're absolutely right. It's the one thing that sort of made me hesitate from putting up Wise Eagle, who, you know, we would talk about Musselburgh being such a specialist track, and you always, oh, they never come back, oh, that ground's a bit different on the coast, oh, that prevailing wind makes it difficult. And you've got a horse here that comes back and does it time and time again at the track, won this race 3 years ago, second off a much higher, fourth but beaten, a length and a half off a much higher mark a year ago. You know, but at the same time, you know, that's, he's 7-1 only against a field that's full of horses like Gambino, full of horses like that. So
you wouldn't want to lay a big price each way about him, though, Keith, would you? I mean, he's only been out.
Well, that's right.
He's four once in nine starts at both codes, isn't he? Something like that.
And he's run the two best hurdles runs of his career in the last two runs. You know, he's been placed in a Scottish County hurdle, heed again, and then placed also in the Moor battle. So
he's just running really well. Adam Nicholl's banging in winners left, right and centre, both flat and jumps as well. So
so that's the thing, isn't it? Like, you're, if this horse was six and everything else about him was the same, you'd have no problem with him being 7-1 at all, would you?
No.
But it's the fact he's nine and there's all these sort of sexier 4 or 5-year-olds coming through, that you start to hesitate a little and wonder if you're being a little bit soft.
He's just, as you well know, he's just the type of horse I'd like to back, because you know he's going to run his race. You know he's got his condition. He's got his perfect condition.
Me and Graham Rodway handicapped the stairs in the flat 1 year, and every as I said to Rodway, every British and Irish to an extent as well, staying handicap on the flat. It's about horses that can settle and horses that can quicken.
Yeah.
Wise Eagle has made a career out of doing that. And this was 2021, I think, and he's still going now. You know, that they're the skills you need in these races, and he has demonstrably got it because he's done it 100 times. Yeah. So that's the sort of, when you're looking at a horse like this, it's the sort of the dilemma really is, can you look past all these sexy horses that might end up a stone better? But again, this horse was £8 better this time last year. So it's what I'm weighing up. I'll definitely play him down to places on Betfair. I think that's almost certain to see. He's that sort of horse. And see how we go from there. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how Gambino gets on. I think what Keels is saying is he's backing him for the Greatwood.
Yeah.
No matter what happens over summer, you know, you'll probably have a couple of jogs round over hurdles just to keep him going and get him qualified for Premier Handicaps. Have the best summer he can in the flat and then try and win the Greatwood before having a break. That sounds like the sort of thing we're talking about, not being very skeleton what he's done here. That would be very skeleton.
That would be. And also, one last thing on Gambino, the fact that his two good flat runs in Ireland were at Goran Park, which favours very similar skills and tactics to Musselburgh as well. I mean, you've got a sharp speed favour in right-handed track as well. So, yeah. The more I talk about this, actually, the more I think Gambino is thrown in, but also the more I think this is a very competitive race at the same time. So, I'm not sure what to do with that information. But you think Gambino's...
I'll be disappointed if he doesn't win, to be honest.
Yeah.
Might even play the cast with Wise Eagle, who just runs his race.
All right. I do think Sporting Silvermine's the one I kept going back to. Again, he went on the handicap quite quick for James Owen. He was one of those Owen horses, obviously, you bolted up a couple of times and then hit his level. But even when he hit his level, he was running into like Grand Ascan, who bolted up at Newcastle, and he's been sold abroad now for about $400,000 or something. But he looked a bit of a monster, and Fantasy World at Yarmouth, who ended up winning a lifter race at the back end of the season as well. So he's the overpriced one for me, Sporting Silvermine at 10-1. Keith?
I'm going to probably duck out of all the competitive elements and just play Wise Eagle down the places.
All right, there you go. Fair enough. That's the Queen's Cup at Musselburgh then. Back to Haydock we go for the Veterans Handicap Chase here. 2.5 miles and a very big field that have lined up here. 17 horses on good to soft ground over at Haydock. Over 2.5 miles. This is going to be tough. To unpick, and we've got 13 to 2 the field. Genoir is 13 to 2, Philander is at 7 to 1, Guard Your Dreams 15 to 2, Fugitive 8, Limilos is 9, Outlaw Peter 9, The Flyer Begley is 10s, and 11 to 1 bar those. But of course, given the conditions of the veterans races, it's often the youngest veterans who tend to dominate these contests, and it's no surprise that the first three in the betting are all 10-year-olds here, Keels.
Yeah, absolutely, and it's one of those. You know, when they run in the big Sandown final, they're all 11 years old because they've had a whole year to run at the age of 10, whereas you can qualify for this race after January.
Yeah.
Like, you know, so you're still relatively young. Some of them won't even be fully 10 yet, will they? Probably. So, yeah, you can understand that. But you struggle to find a more competitive handicap chase outside of the Nationals, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It is outrageously competitive, really, really hard. But the one I liked, just the way he ran last time, I'm going with the class angle again, was Manila Drama. Now, yes, he was flattered to get within 8.5 lengths of Protectorat at Kelso last time because Protectorat made that horrendous howler 2 out.
Mm.
But he was giving him £6. He was giving the other two £6, and they were similarly rated to him, and he had them beaten miles. The top speed figure was pretty big. You know, he's got a 1.52 top speed figure, which is miles better than any of his rivals here have ever done.
Yep.
So that suggests it was still a pretty good run. I mean, he's now run two good races this season, two rubbish ones. The other good one being when third in the Old Roan off a £5 higher mark than he is now. So I think he's, you know, off a mark of 143, he's definitely well handicapped to play a part if he's in the same form as he was last time. And, you know, it's a long while since he's run at Haydock, but he was second in beating a neck in a Grade 2 novice hurdle, won a Grade 2 novice chase there by nearly 10 lengths. So, yeah, I thought he might go well at the price.
Yeah, Donald McCain, Supreme George, won at Chepstow again yesterday. He's had, I think, 5 winners in the past couple of weeks as well. I mean, he is insanely well handicapped, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. He's very well handicapped. He obviously has two ways of running now.
Yeah.
And whether he wants a massive field around Haydock now, I don't know. But yeah, in terms of ability, right, he's got probably still got more than most of these.
Yeah.
And if he runs to his best, he'll go close. But whether he actually wants a massive field is another matter.
No. But he is often, again, I mean, how many times, Keith, do we say with big field handicap chases, the key thing is just getting into a good early position, isn't it? Especially, I mean, you don't get many 2.5 mile handicap chases around Haydock with this many runners in it. So there's, and it's, you know, it's a sharp track. The fence is coming thick and fast. And again, there's going to be, I feel like if you get stopped at a crucial point and you make one mistake back in the field, you're going to be cooked.
Yeah, the four fences at the straight make a big difference here. It takes quite a lot of getting, even though it's a sharp track. They tend to start racing after that last down the back, don't they? And if you're not really travelling five out, certainly in the longer distance chases, which are what Haydock's more known for, you are really struggling. And we don't have many over this 2.5 mile trip, but same sort of rules tend to apply. You do, a lot of it unfolds in those four fences up the straight. And I think four out's only 3 furlongs from the line. So it's quite, a lot of slowing down and speeding up, and it takes that sort of skill set to win this race.
And the first three home last year were all prominent and were all pretty much on the speed turn into the home straight as well, which is traditionally what Manila Drama likes to do. He doesn't mess around, does he? So,
no, absolutely.
Who else takes your eye again with? It's again, I don't bet in handicap chases, but when I do see a 17 runner, you know, handicap that's 30 to the field, there's still a little light goes on in my brain, thinks I should get stuck into this, but I'm going to resist. I'm going to hand it over to you, and surely there's something will stand out to you.
Well, yeah, there's one, and I've got a similar sort of rationale to Keel's, different answer, in that Guard Your Dreams has been running in much better races than this. He's been running in Cheltenham handicaps all last season after he won at Warwick. He ran the Lisnam Old Lad race, he ran against Jaguar a couple of times, he ran a good race in the December Gold Cup. He fell at the first in Myertown's Ulsima, and he got brought down at the first in Madara's plate this year. And in between, you know, he's the only time he sort of stooped, he conquered. He absolutely battered some of these in a qualifier back at Warwick and couldn't fugitive. He's just a horse that's been operating at a higher level and doing so consistently, really, unless he's turned up in proper monstrous handicaps and then he's maybe got found out a little. You know, it's very much like the Twist and Davies MO to give our horses quite stiff tasks, and this is a horse that's had that throughout his career.
And actually, so, I just had a look at him, and he's got one of those. His profile's almost a little bit hidden, because if you take his Cheltenham runs out over fences, like you said, he's won at Warwick. He's finished fourth behind Catatadori at Kempton in a red hot race. He's finished second at Uttoxeter, and then he's won at Warwick again. So his record outside of Cheltenham over fences is first, fourth, second, first. But it looks, his profile looks chaotic, but it's not.
It does. I mean, he ran at Cheltenham and Entry Festivals a couple of years ago in big handicap hurdles. He's just one of those Twist and Davies horses that gets asked to dance every dance. But when they get a day that suits and a day where they're in their own grade, they're really quite deadly. And I think he's a sort of horse that might show that again. So he's definitely my top one in this race. I'm probably going to have just a little bit on Triple Trade. Triple Trade over 2.5 miles has been a project for me for years. He's finally got it, and he won at Sandown the first time of asking. Ran a good race when he was third to Donica in the race on Trials Day, the big Premier handicap. And the slight worry is that it was a good race, that one, the Greatwood Gold Cup. He was fourth to Cheltenham, and he puttered out a little bit. He might just be in need of another wind up. He's been a bit of a windy horse through his career by the look of things. And that's a slight concern. But if he does happen to win this, I'll never forgive myself. So at double figures, I'll have a little bit on him. But the main bet is definitely Guard Your Dreams, who, you know, we talk about horses that have been operating at higher levels. And yes, Manila Drama is one of those. I think you're on a lot of a safer conveyance with Guard Your Dreams. You know, he's not, Keogh's is making the sort of coded message that Manila Drama's a bit of a thinker or a bit of a rogue, and I'll say it a bit more explicitly than that, whereas I don't think Guard Your Dreams has that issue at all. I think he's a very likeable horse that's been asked to go above himself a little bit too often.
Okay, lovely stuff. Thank you very much. John Hall says the Flyer Begley is already a big market mover. C&D winning form is a big plus, at least to get into the frame, and Dave Brown agrees.
Yeah, see, that Lord Baddersley could run well as well, again, back on a flat left-handed track.
Yes.
He could run very well. Got a big price.
And again, the more we talk about this race, the more I remember why I've stopped betting in handicap chasers. Be an absolute crackerjack to watch, though. But
weirdo. I've got 3 bets in it.
Fair enough. And I'll probably do the same in races that you don't even know existed as
absolutely,
well.
Absolutely, yeah.
So, right, moving on to Musselburgh, the Scottish Sprint Cup then here. Tropical Storm is 9-2 favoured against the Wind, 11-2. Jurbat, 11-2. Democracy Dilemma, 6-1. Pilgrim is 6-1. Eternal Sunshine, 10s and 14-1. And Bigger the Rest. And of course, we are on the lookout for future Group 1 Royal Ascot Sprinters here at Musselburgh. Potentially, look. Lightning struck once, it can strike again. And we do have a couple of youngsters at the top of the betting against the Wind for Kevin Ryan and Kevin Stark, who was beaten in a good race on the All Weather to get him fit, presumably for this last time out. And Tropical Storm, who's a very good horse on a fast 5 furlongs, as he showed at York last year in Lister Company. Disappointed in big fields the rest of the season, and that would concern me a little bit, but he's dropped down the weights and he's been gelded, so he is very much down in grade here. And that's just the first and second favourite here. You've got your Democracy's Dilemmas, who's going to rattle off. Eternal Sunshine, who had a great year last year. Heavenly Heather, who presumably, I don't know, I can't believe, why didn't she run today at Newcastle? She decided to go somewhere else instead for a bit of a treat. But you're not a one-trick pony, Keels. You fancy one in the handicap chase? You fancy one in the sprint?
Like, yeah, when it comes to jump racing, I love staying chases. But when it comes to flat racing, I love sprints for some reason. I don't know that's the case.
Well, I know exactly why that's the case, because they're both the hardest ones to solve.
Well, yeah, I suppose.
And you love solving hard puzzles.
Yeah, I do. The harder, the better. It's more fun. You can spend ages delving into it, can't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it. I mean, interesting that against the Wind's favourite, because he's out of stall one, and there has been one winner from stall one. That was Zarzini a few years ago, and he actually turned left and came up the Stanside Rail anyway. Every other winner has been 8 or higher in the last 10 years. There is some sort of advantage because they come along and just swing round to the left a little bit.
Yeah. That elbow is difficult to navigate if you're stuck in the middle.
So I was looking at Pilgrim Antipost, and he's managed to get stall 14, which was Lovely. I just find him very, very interesting. You think about this. I mean, look at what happened to Dan Skelton runners earlier in the season. They've been running in big prices elsewhere, and then suddenly when it's the day, like, you know what I mean, they're fancied and they go and win. And I think Pilgrim has had two runs on the all-weather just to get himself fit and ready for this. He'd never run, you know, he was a five-year-old who'd never run on the all-weather before. He was held up on the second one of them, which isn't really him anyway. And so I just write those off. They were, it wasn't his day. He's dropped a couple of extra pounds to it. He's down to a mark of 92, same mark off which he won the Palace of Holyrood House a couple of years ago, and he warmed up for winning that by winning by 5.5 lengths on here, on his only start here on good to soft ground. Yes, that was only a mark of 81, and he's on 92 now, but I think he's already shown that he's a good deal better than that. I think he'll run really well. I mean, he's getting down to the price where you're thinking, hang on a minute, should I still be tipping and backing him? Because he obviously was a lot bigger, but I think he does have a lot in his favour. He certainly has the ability to win this. And remember, his first time out on turf last season, he went off at 7-4 to win a class two off a £4 higher mark.
Yeah, he's got one of those profiles that I mean, I like in terms of betting wise. If you own it, must have been quite frustrating last year. But rattling through the ranks, getting to your sort of peak, and then having one season where you rattle back down the ranks.
I mean, sprinters yo-yo anyway, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, no, a lot of them do. Like, and he's definitely in a handicap market that he can win off, you know, with the correct draw, with the stable going okay. You can argue the same about Gerbat as well for David and Nicola Baron, because he is, I think he was a close third to American Fair last year, and he's about £7 lower, isn't he? So
yeah,
he's got a big shout as well, whereas your Democracy Dilemma, he had his rebound last summer, and he's quite high again, isn't he?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If we swap these over, if we went back like 6 months, Gerbat and Democracy Dilemma would probably be carrying the same sort of weight, and now Democracy Dilemma's got to give him £20.
Yeah.
That's the way it goes.
My only little niggle in the back of my brain about Pilgrim is the jockey booking, in terms of he's won all these races for Joe Fanning, and he also ran well at York last year in a big race at the Dante, and he's got York form as well. And I just had a little thing in the back of my mind whether they thought, you know, that maybe this isn't the target, actually.
Yeah, could be right. I mean, you know, we might find out a bit more when the market opens up on track, because, you know, I mean, I think he might drift anyway, because obviously he's come down a lot, and that's what tends to happen. But it's a fair enough price to go for early season, isn't it? So
yeah. He ran in that the race won by American Affair at York last year. He finished 9th of mark of 98 there. So I just that was my only thing in the back of my mind. But you can get sort of tied in knots trying to work those sort of things out. He's a 6-1 shot Pilgrim for the Baron team. What did you like, Keith? Again, you're a sustained handicap chase man. Are you also a sprint man like Keels or not?
Yes, you know that. That's my game in the summer. I keep myself amused with sprint handicaps. I find them absolutely ridiculously tough sometimes. And this is another one where you're right, though, tying yourself in knots thinking how the race is going to go, because one of the sort of reasons I was a little bit cooler on Pilgrim was because he's in 14, but the horse immediately on his outside is going to cut him up straight away. Eternal Sunshine is a point and shoot job, isn't she? And she is in 13, and she's going to go for that rail. And, you know, she made the front in the Air Bronze Cup, having missed the start. She's got loads and loads of pace. Obviously won the Portland last year as well. So, you know, that's exactly what American Affair did, isn't it? Won the Portland for Goldie in the autumn and came to this race on his reappearance last year. That's not why I'm putting her up, but it does tell me that they might have got her fit. You know, Goldie tends to know when the prize money is good. That's what he's always done that. That's why he was part of the Racing League, the most un-Jim Goldie competition that racing's ever put on. But he was involved and quite successful at it because the prize money was good. He's got Eternal Sunshine here. Given the draw, given the running style, given that she kept running like an absolute champ after that Portland win until she tried to run twice in 2 days right at the end of the season. That aside, she's pretty much bomb-proof. She has won here as well. I thought, not quite twice the price of Pilgrim, but near enough. She is, I thought she was the nominal bet, but with all these sprint handicaps, you have to get used to the idea that you can have a perfectly good bet and it just doesn't work out the way you think.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, that's why I said to you at Cheltenham, I'm doing the opposite of you two. I'm swearing off the staying handicap chasers and the sprint handicap. So you two can figure them out to your heart's content, to a certain extent anyway, you know, depending on the race. But yet another two winners for the Red Hot. Andrew Balding says John Hall, and Tropical Storm is another potential winner. And to be fair, that is true. You know, you're looking for a group horse in a handicap. Well, you possibly have already in Tropical Storm, and that gelding operation could make a difference. All right, that's a bit of Haydock and a bit of Musselburgh then. Like I said, it is the big weekend over at Fairy House, and Sunday treats us to two Grade 1 races. The first one I'm going to be looking at is the Mare's Novice Hurdle, over 2.5 miles, where, as you would expect, plenty who ran at Cheltenham turn up here. But they're up a few furlongs in trip. And, of course, the question here is how much do we take that form literally, given it was an absolute shambles at the start. And I'm not entirely convinced that even if you ran that same race in the same conditions half an hour later, that you wouldn't mix up at least 80% of the placings. But Old School Outlaw did run a bit of a cracker in that, a 7-4 for Gordon Elliott and Mark Walsh. Zanoush, the form horse of the entire winter over in Ireland, is 7-2. Charmer de Faust is 9-2. How's Hannah is 8-1. Plaster de Nation is 10s. Carrigmore Spruce, who had no chance at Cheltenham after a poor start, is 12s. And Jackie Hobbs 14s. And then 16-1, bar those here at Fairy House for this Grade 1 contest. Yeah, Keels. Obviously, Old School Outlaw looked really, really good on her, in particular, a win at this track going into Cheltenham. And she ran an absolute blinder, but she don't did. Know.
I don't think just that form. I just don't think the form of the race is that strong anyway.
And,
I think she's the right favourite. I definitely see her winning. I don't think a backer at 7-4. I don't think it's a race that deserves a 7-4 favourite, to be honest. I mean, obviously, the third, fourth, and fifth are all in there. None of them were beaten that far, were they? They've all not run that many times. Mm. I quite like Charme de Faust. I just, you know, she's from a staying flat family, isn't she? So I think she'll definitely get the trip. She's only young. She still gets the £10. Obviously, she was fourth. She's only beaten a few lengths. That was only the third start. Only the second one for Mullins after winning what was a Mickey Mouse maiden hurdle first time up. So it's her first test, and I thought she ran really, really well at a big price. While all of those were doing it on the same day, Zanoush was winning again at Limerick, wasn't she? So, you know, she's very good, but she didn't have a great deal in hand of ours, Anna. It was twice the price. You know, I think
yeah,
it's,
but
I think it's
she keeps doing
race.
That in races.
She does. Yes.
She just keeps winning.
She just keeps pulling out. I think it's a tough little race. If pushed, I'd back Charme de la Faust, but not really strong on this one.
No. But it is, again, it's another market where I do want to take the fav on, Keith. And not be, again, she did look fantastic when she won here. You know, it's a weird one, isn't it? She represents, in theory, the perfect form line and ran the best out of every horse she comes up against here today. So she is a worthwhile favourite. But again, I don't know. There's plenty in here who either got excuses or in the shape of Zanoush, we still don't know how good they are.
Well, absolutely that, yeah. Like Old School Outlaw, I think because of that win here is why she's the sort of price she is. Because just in what she did at Cheltenham, there's no way she should be 7-4, while, for example, Plaster La Nation, who was third and not beaten far by her at all at Cheltenham, is 10-1. I actually think she's the one to be on, Plaster La Nation. She's been going through races. She was probably last off the bridle in a Dawn run. If you watch that race, I thought, having just watched that, but there's so much going on there, and you maybe might have missed something, but travelled really, really strongly, wandered a little bit under pressure, which is of very slight concern, but I think she's not getting home. I think she's wanting further. She's a bit one-paced potentially, and going back up to 2.5 might actually be the making of her. She's been quite one-paced under pressure. She's also a half-sister to Keita Bourbon, who was third in the Irish National last year, so it's a stout pedigree. She's a horse that has got loads under the hoods, but just seems to be a bit one-paced under pressure. And, you know, the only bad race she's run was when she got a bit of a tanking of Old School Outlaw here. But I still don't think that necessarily justifies 7-4 plays 10-1, given what we saw at Cheltenham, given that that form was a little bit of, you know, throw a dart, and given that Plaster La Nation tanked through it like she was as good as anything.
Okay. And it's just one we're talking about jockey bookings. Daniel King has been booked for Future Prospect,
yes,
of all things. But she looked like a monster on her hurdles debut. It was a good time. It threw up plenty of winners. She's bred to stay. And, I mean, you've gone from a maiden hurdle win in January, thrown into Cheltenham against significantly more experienced horses. She was pulled up. Obviously, everything went wrong. I do think she is, as the name would suggest, a future prospect. But she's, what, 33 to 1 or something? And I don't know. She's at Fairy House, where she's won a bumper very comprehensively. She's the one I'd want to follow over the next 12 months or so, and she's a very big price, so I might have to have a little bit on her, Keith.
She's that New Mullins angle, isn't it? That he now knows that he doesn't know which his best ones are in these divisions a lot of the time until they're out on the track. So what he tends to do is throw them all out on the track and see who wins, and that would have got you massive price horses in the last two triumphs, and he does tend to do that now, and I think he would be doing it a little bit with her, but he can also do it, throw them into this just for the experience, like you say. She, again, has quite a stout pedigree. I think you're absolutely right. She's next season's mare. That's not to say she'll not be good enough today, but you'll certainly be watching her with an eye on what she does, maybe over fences next season.
Yes, yeah, I agreed. I think that probably is the case. And, of course, Spindlebury was second in this, and obviously... you know, those type of horses who you're fond of for the next 12 months or so. She will go over bigger obstacles, I'm sure. And the other grade one on Sunday at Fairy House is the Novice Chase, where Capuchet Pike is 3-1 with 6 Mile Bridge, Predator's Gold 4-1, Jacob's Ladder 13-2, Pure Steel 30-2, Western Fold 12, Jimmy DeSerle 14s, and 14-1 bar those. And noticeable that they skipped at Cheltenham with Capuchet Pike, who, again, like you were saying, was one of those Mullins horses that was hunted around in good hurdles last year, gained plenty of experience, showed up in a couple of half-decent races, and has been an absolute revelation over fences, Keith, and is up against, well, 6 Mile Bridge, who I thought was going to run an absolute blind when the Jack Richards didn't turn up, and actually this is probably easier to win, isn't it?
It possibly is. He has just taken off. He's been one of those that's taken off for fences, and you must imagine that there's been things going on that they can't get him quite right for maybe Cheltenham or something, or maybe they just think Fairy House Punchestown is where they're going to go with this horse, given sort of where they went to Cheltenham and Aintree with him last year, and he blobbed at both. So that might be the reason he's here. He has looked very promising, and really the level of form he's put up.
Carry on.
You thought it was 6 Mile Bridge, yeah.
I'm getting confused.
Right.
That's all right. It's late.
Sorry. the level you're looking at for this race to win it is high 150s on RPRs, and you know he's at 154 already after two runs. So he's clearly, I mean, he's a right favourite because you price up a lot on potential, and he has the potential, and he's achievement wise, he's not far behind 6 Mile Bridge, if I remember right. Let me check that horse's RPR. Yes. I mean, it's only £3 in it. And yeah, exactly. So there's an element here of you're thinking about intent at this time of season, aren't you?
Yeah.
And obviously in Ireland, we've got more of a trainer's title race than we do in Britain, which is, that'd be rare. So Elliot's thrown everything he's got at every race he's got.
Yeah. And it's worth remembering as well that Mullins had the 1-2 in the 3 Mile Novice Chase, of course, and the 1-2 in the Arkle at Cheltenham as well. So in terms of grade one novice chasers, it might not surprise anyone to hear that he has the best of the bunch.
Yeah, exactly. You saved Jimmy DeSoy as well, and he saved how many others for the big sort of spring festival. You think you'll possibly find, I think my sort of instinct is in 5-10 years time, we'll be looking back of the Mullins class coming through that are now at the novice chase stage as peak Mullins.
Yeah.
Because I think the pipeline maybe isn't quite as completely, you know, monomaniacal as it was, and I think that age group is now novice chasing, and they're just picking up absolutely everything. He cannot run Capuchet Pike, he cannot run Jimmy DeSoy, and still get the results he got at Cheltenham with those horses. So that's just something that I think we're going to sort of see bear out, and he probably will use the force of those horses to get himself over the line for another trainer's title.
Yeah.
Although I think I'll be given a chance to any late horse in this race in Western Fold, because he's shown me time and again he can run to that high 150s level you need for this race. You know, I'm The Cade Doth is already my horse for next year's Gold Cup. You know, chased him home at the DRF. He's got loads of good form in the Galway Plate. He's run well in loads of good races, a Down Royal Champion chase and all sorts. I know he can come up to this level. I know he can act under the conditions. And I suspect he's probably more at home at 2.5 miles than three. With the slight niggle that Elliot would run anything at this time of year, if I'm honest, because he's just desperate to get that trainer's title over the line, I thought he was maybe a little bit overpriced.
All right, Western Fold then is a 12-1 shot. But yeah, I do like, I mean, again, given the fact that Mullins had such a strong hand at Cheltenham, but what I love about this Capuchet Pike is the way he jumps. He has pinged everything. He's been prepped at two right-hander tracks as well, third as a bunch of down. He comes here at Ferry. I just keep looking at this and thinking, everything is absolutely ideal for him. And then you've got other horses who have been running over further, might need even softer ground.
He's over the 30s there, isn't he? Like, yeah. You know what I mean? It's not like, you know, you haven't found something new, have you? You know what I mean? That's it. You know, I think this is wide open, by the way. I think this is proper wide open, yeah. Mm. Right? Yeah. Who's top on like, Racing Post ratings and top speed? And top speed by a country mile, by the way.
Carlo Conti. Yeah.
Carlo Conti is 16-1 in a place. Like, you know, I mean, that to me is an absolute mad price. Right? Yeah. She's absolutely gagged up. Thrash Kargeese, right? She won first time out by 9.5 lengths over 2.5 miles to doing handstands. Yes, she was second to 6 mile bridge last time, but she hit the second fence, and I don't think she was in her rhythm from then on afterwards. Yeah. But she still ran fair enough. She only beaten 5 lengths. The jockey blamed the ground being too soft there. I don't know how soft it's going to end up at Ferry. I think they might have had some rain today, but ain't that much about. I think back on home turf, she's a crazy price. And if the ground isn't deep, then Jimmy DeSoy's not out of it either. I mean, he made the, what's it called?
The
Big Westerner. The Big Westerner. He made it look like a snail first time out. He really hacked up that day.
Yeah, but what's
he can't jump out of deep ground.
He cannot
jump out of deep ground, simple as that. I actually spoke to the... I said, oh, I'm not sure he's big enough for it. And I spoke to the owner at Leopardstown, and he said, oh, he's not that small. He said, he just can't jump out of the ground. He said, you know, and then we said... You know, he went out and watched it, and of course he had that horrible fall at the last. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? And it was, so I hope he's all right. But you know, he said, yeah, we're just going to put him away for the spring, look for better ground. He can't jump out of that ground. So I think, you know, I if it's not really deep ground, I wouldn't be surprised if he improves dramatically. This is not really, really strong race, I don't think.
No, and again, that's my point with Capuchin Pike.
Yeah, I can understand that. I'm not arguing with him being favourite, but I think Carlo Conti is a ludicrous price. I don't think she'll be anywhere near double figures.
Yeah.
She hasn't done anything wrong, apart from lose one of her three races against a good horse who's joint favourite for this.
Again, I'm going to throw the old jockey bookings at you, but Jack Kennedy's chosen Jacob's Ladder with that. Is that that's not the kind of thing you
can understand
care about?
Because he keeps winning, doesn't he? He keeps winning, doesn't he? But no, it doesn't. It doesn't bother me. The pride, you know, he. You know, when jockeys do this, they are going to go for the. They will have a look at the market as well.
Yep.
Like, you know what I mean? So hang on a minute. Why am I riding this when that's half the price?
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? So a lot of the time, they do.
Yeah, and well, I mean, Jacob's Ladder is a better horse on ratings as well. So it might just be simple as, you know, I'll ride the horse I've won twice on the last twice. And
yeah,
he's the better horse.
But he's better. He's a better horse by £5, but giving £7 to
Carlo
Conti, to be fair. So.
But again, I do.
I mean, Gordon Eddie would take any of them winning, obviously, because he's only 400 grand ahead now, and his strike rate lately is terrible, it has to be said. That's the other thing they're going to. He's only 3 from 37 in the last fortnight or something.
Yeah.
So well, and that's he's the slowed thing. Down a bit, but...
And he's got the horses who have been winning all winter, and then Capuchet Pike goes, hey, I'm fresh as a daisy, and I've been waiting for this race.
Yeah, but then Carlo Conti's fresh as a daisy as well, because she didn't go to Cheltenham after that Sandown
run.
True. Probably because Gordon wanted Romeo Culio to run in this.
Yeah.
And it was obviously overruled by the owners and went to Cheltenham.
Yeah, which in hindsight.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. That's the grade one then, over Fences of the Novice Chase at Ferry House on Sunday. Right, we've got the big one, the Irish Grand National, to get stuck into in just a second. But we talked to jockey Robbie Power, who won the race on our Duke, and Sam earlier on chatted to him to get a feel of what you need to do to win an Irish National and who he fancied for the big race.
It's Ball Sports Irish Grand National Weekend, and Boyle Sports ambassador and former top jockey joins us, Robbie Power, for this big race at Ferry House. Robbie, great to have you on the show. Such a big race, not just, well, it's not just this weekend that's going to be big racing. It's a big week ahead for the sport itself. But the Ball Sports Irish Grand National is the highlight of Easter weekend over there in Ireland. And you actually won the race on Arduke back in 2017. I think the main thing to ask straight away is, what's it like to ride and what's it like to have won? And what kind of horse do you need to win a race like this?
Yeah, look, it's a fantastic occasion, Easter Monday in Fairy House, and the Boyle Sports Irish Grand National is the richest race in Ireland all year, and this year is going to be no different. It's going to be very, very competitive. For me, being a local, Fairy House is only 15 minutes away from me. It's a race I always wanted to win, and I was very lucky in 2017 to win at an Arduke. I hadn't had much luck in it before that. I was second on Oscar Time to Blue Sea Cracker many years ago, but had never got my head in front. And our Duke is the type of horse you need for an Irish Grand National. You know, he's a novice on the improve. Sometimes a novice can just sneak under the handicapper's radar a little bit. I think this year's field is littered with plenty of improving novices as well, so it's interesting. But that's the kind of horse I always look for when I'm looking at the Boyle Sports Irish Grand National, is a novice on the, that I think is on the improve.
Okay, yeah, novice on the improve. And that's going to be my next question then. The race on Monday at this stage, who do you like for the race? And is it a novice that is on that improve?
I think it is. I'm going to make a case for two or three, and they're all novices. I think the Jukebox Kid is the right favourite. Ben Pauling has had this race for him in mind for a long time. And he ticks a lot of boxes. Stamina, the Reynoldstown Chase, he won an Ascot. Yes, it was a small field, but it often throws up a decent horse. And he looks the right favourite to me. I think if things go his way, it could be hard to beat. Emmett Mullins' horse, Soldier in Milan as well, is another horse. You always have to keep an eye on Emmett Mullins when you're looking at these big valuable handicaps. And Soldier in Milan, disappointing run the last day, but that was kind of ticking a box, if you ask me. You get a fourth run in to qualify for the race. It's slightly different now to when Arduke won it. Arduke won it on his fourth start. A horse now has to have four runs over fences to qualify. And I think Soldier Milan was just getting that fourth run to qualify. So I put a line through the last day and judged him on previous form. And the horse of Willie Mullins, is, I think if I was Paul Townend, he's a tough decision to make in the race. Argento Boy is slightly shorter in the betting than Say to Chance. But I think Say to Chance is the one I'd be looking for. He's a horse that has stamina, pace as well, and jumps well. You know, they're three huge attributes in a horse going to the Boyle Sports Irish Grand National. And I think if I was to go back in the saddle for one day, I'd the choice between Say to Chance and Soldier in Milan would be within my pick.
Yeah, I completely agree with you with Say to Chance. I think that's the best chance for Willie Mullins. But again, Paul Townend is going to have a really, really difficult decision, Robbie. But there's a few horses that Robbie fancies there. And as the guys have been mentioning on the show, there are plenty of other great races across the weekend, not just on the Monday, Saturday and Sunday at Fairy House with Grade 1 action across the weekend as well. Do you have any other horses for the weekend that you like the look of?
I like the two very good Grade 1 races on Easter Sunday. The Mayor's Novice Hurdle, a Grade 1, is very, very interesting. An old school outlaw ran a blinder in Cheltenham. She was second. I think she's probably the best mare in the race. But coming back so soon after a hard race in Cheltenham, I'd have huge question marks. And I like Colin Murphy's mare, Zanoush. I was very lucky to ride for Colin Murphy. I rode some good Grade 1 winners for him. And you look back at the likes of Brave Inca, Big Zeb, Voller of a Death, there's very few better than Colin Murphy at priming a horse for a big day, and I think Zanoush in the Grade 1 Mare's Novice Hurdle will be very, very hard to beat.
Yeah, that's Zanoush, yeah, that's in the 3:50 on Sunday there, the Mare's Novices Hurdle there, taking on Old Score Outlaw. Well, pleasure to have you on, Robbie. Thanks so much. I know you're a busy man. There's plenty of action, not just here, but obviously Aintree upcoming as well. But thanks for coming on, and wishing you all the best of the weekend.
Thanks a million. Looking forward to the weekend.
There you go, Robbie Power then, and he's going for the winning machine Zanoush as well as a possible alternative over the course of the weekend. But let's look at the Boyle Sports Irish Grand National. Again, we haven't got the decks through as of yet, but you'd expect most of them who are pretty well fancied would turn up. And again, I reckon the average age of the top ones in the betting here are probably younger than the average age of the top ones in the betting in the Grade 1 Novice Chase on the Sunday. There are some unexposed horses for sure. The Jukebox Kid heading the betting at 6-1. Argento Boy is 8-1 with Seda Chance and Soldier in Milan. Kiss Will is 10-1. Better Days Ahead, 14s with You Have Me in Stitches. And then you've got the likes of Show Your Appreciation. We've also got Better Times Ahead, of course, as well, who's around a 16-1 shot. And a couple of other Irish raiders as well, including One Big Bang for James Owen and Mon Beg Genius for John Drew O'Neill, who again has won this twice in the past 15 years. And again, we've got a British favourite. We had a British winner last year. Like I said, John Joe's won it a couple of times. Ferdy Murphy won it about 20 years ago. Bob Buckler won it with Niche Market. Harry Skelton claiming £3. Crikey, that seems like a lifetime ago, doesn't it? We've even had a 150-1 winner in the shape of Freewheel in Dillon getting the better of the argument back in 2021. We've got future Grand National winners, future Gold Cup runners in Haiti Kilos. It looks an absolutely blinding lineup, mainly, Keels, because, again, there is so much potential in these horses. You've got 6 and 7 year olds who have barely run over this trip, mm-hmm. And are going to bounce off the not particularly soft ground as well. But interesting to see that Ben Pauling and presumably Ben Jones, who've been mopping up handicap chases all winter, are sending the Jukebox Kid over, and everyone's getting a little bit giddy about him.
Yeah, well, he's seriously progressive, isn't he? He's definitely on my shortlist. The race he won at Ascot worked out really, really well, didn't it? Because with obviously him winning the Reynolds down afterwards, and the runner-up winning a big 100 grand handicap chase next time as well. And, he's just going forwards. He likes a right-handed track. Got to be a big player. I mean, he's been well found in the market. He can't get any shorter than that, I don't think. But the one I like the most is a horse that's already run in it. Probably ran its worst race of the year last year in it. But
it's not the ideal case, you make it.
Look, for a trainer that's desperate to hang on to his ever dwindling lead in the Irish Trainers Championship, you expect Gordon Elliott to have a bigger and better group of horses running in this for such a massive prize, wouldn't you? And I just have a feeling that this has been the plan all season since Better Days Ahead finished 6th in the race last year. Now, last year he was campaigned as a Grade 1 horse, and he was a Grade 1 horse because he won one, but he never had an easy race. Yep. And then, the Irish National was the last run. He was involved in two photos for Grade 1s, one over 2.5, one over 3 mile. Sorry, both over 3 mile, I think they were. And was then third in the Brown Advisory. So I think he was a little bit over the top, and he might just have not got home in what was absolutely atrocious ground as well. But he still finished sixth, which, other than a fall and a no-show in a champion bumper a couple of years ago, is by some margin his worst run of his life. In terms of where he's finished, he's such a consistent horse, and he's just been primed for it this year, isn't he? He's just had two runs: one over hurdles, ran really well, finished second. Yeah. One over fences, over 2.5, ran really well, finished second. You know what I mean? He's going to be absolutely primed to run his eyeballs out. And he's off a similar mark. I think he fully deserves it. Yes, he's got 11 stone 12 on his back. It depends on how much rain they've got. There isn't that much more forecast. I gather there was some rain in Ireland. I was looking on social media earlier on, and they said it was lashing down in Dublin. So I don't know whether they got that or not. But it's certainly not going to be as bad as last year by the looks of it. And I think I just think he's going to be a big, big player.
Okay. I mean, he's got that rating for a reason, hasn't he? But
he's a fairly big
But
he's still
ask.
A young horse who's only run six times over fences. So, he's far from he's far from exposed. And this has obviously been the plan.
Yeah.
And, he's 20-1.
Because you're right. Because, people were talking up that, the Wall Parkers potentially go in here and plenty of other types of horses. But, Elliot's barely... In the grand scheme of things, barely represented in the entries.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Especially compared to Mullins, who has, as you would expect, as he did with the Scottish National last year when he was trying to win the British title, he's blanket bombing it.
When he throws them all at it, he tends to have four of the first five, doesn't he? Like, you know what I mean? So, it's obviously going to be a hard race to win, but I do think that one...
Better Days Ahead is just overpriced.
Yeah, okay. Better Days Ahead then is a 14-1 shot. He's top of the list.
The Jukebox Man is definitely in there, but Monbet Genius is interested.
Yep.
Jukebox Kid, sorry. Yeah. Monbet Genius is still very interested. He's been fifth and sixth in two Welsh Nationals.
Yeah.
He's been third at Oldham. He was third last time out in the Kim Muir. Got plenty of decent staying form to his name, hasn't he? I think he was sixth in the Bet365 Gold Cup last season as well. And he's just in form. You know, I mean, ran really, really well last time. Probably wants softer ground than at Cheltenham as well.
Yeah.
He'll get that without it being really soft. I think he'll run well again.
Just one more thing. I was going to say it was you that tipped him. It was Tom, wasn't it, that tipped him. But the Iceberg Theory down the bottom of the weights was given quite a bit to do at Cheltenham and still run a bit of a blinder.
It certainly was, yeah. He ran an okay race, yeah. He's a big enough price if he squeezes in.
Yeah,
he's number 40 at the moment, isn't he, Nessa?
Yes, that is the issue. And often in the... In the big handicap chasers, Keith, not many come around. Out. So
that's absolutely right. That's my main worry with Iceberg Theory. You know, he's on my sort of shortlist too. He ran like a horse that hadn't run since November when he was fifth in the National Lint Chase, I thought.
Yeah.
He'd be, if he gets in, he definitely goes on the list for me. You know, he's an interesting horse, a bit of a Paul Nolan special getting him lined up. But even if he gets in, he's in right at the foot of the weights off 10-1. And we've talked about Mullins having all the sort of horses in the race. But Elliot's got a lot of the chips because of the framing of the weights. You know, Better Days Ahead, he's £7 clear top weight, I think, in this. He's forcing the weights down £7. And even then, the second top weight's Search for Glory, who... probably second on my list. It's interesting how the handicappers treated the Altona, if you look back on that, because we have a rare instance where we know what the BHA have done to an Irish horse. They've published the performance figures from Cheltenham. They've rated Search for Glory joint winner with Johnny Who for the Altona. Steve Mason rated Search for Glory level with Quebecois in the Altona, and not that he's rated the race, but Johnny Pearson, the Irish handicapper, has been in touch saying that he was going to win. I think he was definitely going to finish ahead of Quebecois in that race of the Altona when he came to, and you know, it was a bit of an unlucky unseat at the last. He sprawled a bit on landing and whatnot. He was coming in on a massive race there, and the BHA have got him running as the joint winner. He shaped so well. In fact, when Keel started talking about Better Days Ahead, you know, ran badly from the part he said, desperate, talking about Elliot, to the part he started mentioning the horse's name, I thought he was talking about Search for Glory. This is a horse that maybe has had the race as his target all season. He was second in the Fox Rock, he was second in the Paddy Power, and then he's had a couple of runs where he's got off big prices for the Thursdays and then the Altima, and now he's back for the Irish Grand National. I wonder if this has been a bit of a ploy all along with him. And he'll be pretty well handicapped, you know. He's not been given an unduly harsh rise by the Irish handicapper for what happened at Cheltenham, considering he was possibly going to win that race. I thought, well, you're certainly going to beat Quebecois. I think you can make the argument.
We're going to have to get other horses on the shortlist for you.
No, fine. Yeah, absolutely. No, I'll talk about my main one's actually Soldier Man, who have done that really annoying thing where I fancied it before there was a price for it, and I've not backed it yet. It just has the look of one of those sort of Noble Yeats type plots. He was running in bumpers this time last year, and he has shown loads. He has shown some good form. That one over Kisswell, he looked a bit of a serious horse that day, and he is bred for marathon trips. You know, his dam's a close relative of Oscar Tyne, who's placed in Irish Nationals, placed in Grand Nationals. It's just got the look of something Emmett Mullins has been planning all along, and the market sort of found him now, but I'll need to back him, and I think he's the right sort of horse for this race. He's seven where some are six, but he'll be the least exposed in the field.
All right, Soldier in Milan then for Emmett Mullins, who's I was going to tell you the price, but they just gone off the screen there. So Soldier in Milan then for Emmett Mullins. Funnily, the one that was sort of top on my list was the one that you mentioned in Soldier in Milan beating him, was Kiss Will, who again, sort of just sprang out of nowhere last year when stepping up in Trip at Perth. And it looked a good race at Perth at that listed novice hurdle. Obviously, Mullins was trying to win as many races as he possibly could at that time of the year, but he absolutely bolted up over 3 miles, then was campaigned over shorter, went down fighting behind Soldier in Milan. And again, I thought ran a bit of a cracker in the Jack Richards. He just kind of stalked into it, And I don't know. He wasn't given a overly hard time of it. It was his handicap chase debut. But it's the way that he relished that 3 miles last year and suddenly looked like a completely different horse that I thought, oh, right, OK, he's back up in trip here. Condition should be ideal. So I think Kisswell's very, very interesting indeed. And again, he's 6 years old. He's just barely had a race. I mean, he was sent off favourite behind Cocktail.
Another horse he's been running in those good everyday novices, hasn't he? Look at the horses that have won those races he's running. You know, Flicker of Hope, Cocktail Divan, you know, Soldier in Milan, and then he's run at Cheltenham. So yeah, it's a classic sort of get them ready for a big handicap preparation for an Irish horse, isn't it?
I mean, he was a long way behind Cocktail Divan, but he was 7 lengths clear of Sata Chance in that race, and Sata Chance has given him £3, so because he's shown his hand a bit more. So, all right, yeah, I think Kisswell's top of mind list, and I do think Iceberg Theory is interesting if he sneaks in at the bottom of the weights. Keel's top of the list and the second best.
Better Days Ahead, Jukebox Kid, Born Big Genius would be my three.
All right, and Keith, number one and number two?
Soldier Milan, number one, Search for Glory, number two.
All right, lovely stuff. That's, of course, the big race on Bank Holiday Monday, the Boyle Sports Irish Grand National. Right, best bets of the weekend then. They could be in the races we've talked about. They could be elsewhere. Keels, what's number one for you?
Yeah, had it off today with a horse that was well handicapped, coming in off a wind up. I think there might be another one tomorrow. 2:46 Haydock Secret Tricks, the 3 mile challenger race. It won the race 2 years ago off a mark of 121. Later that season he had a wind up, came back and won off 129. He's down to 120 now and returned to form with a second last time before going for his wind up. I think he's got a right chance.
All right, there you go. There's one for Keels. Keith, what about you? Best bet of the weekend?
Guard Your Dreams, I think, in that Haydock Middle Distance final. Just a really good horse that's been campaigned like he's a really, really good horse.
All right, fair enough. And I had a couple on the list. One of the races we talked about, Kepa J Pike, again, I just love the way he goes about it. He's kept fresh for the race. Jumps like a spring-heeled warrior. I think he's got a big chance, Kepa J Pike. And there's one in the opener at Musselburgh tomorrow. Again, the market's sort of made by a lot of, oh, this is unexposed. This is coming off the back of this. This is, you know, an ammo race in top weight. That could be interesting. And then there's a horse called Utmost Good Faith.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, I thought he was very interesting.
He's very progressive, isn't he?
Well, he's bolted up twice for New Connections. And then last time out in that Road to Kentucky Derby condition stakes, he was only beaten a few lengths behind, you know, some proper, genuine future group horses. Mm-hmm. And he's here off a mark of 89. He's fit. George Bowie had a winner coming from God knows where with a similar profile. Alice Ride today, who was fit and rattled home at Lingfield. And again, it's just that type of race. I don't like the ones at the bottom of the weights. The market's made by the top weight who's coming off the back of a break, and we don't know if he's well handicapped. So yeah, Utmost Good Faith then, the pick for me. Right, I hope you've enjoyed watching the show. Do like and subscribe and sign up to Boyle Sports as ever if you haven't done so already. And the Boyle Sports Irish Grand National will be up on Monday. And we'll be back next week for 3 days of Aintree, Keels. And yeah, again, with a bit more of a break from Cheltenham, I feel ready for it this year.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm always ready for Aintree. Love Aintree.
Yeah.
Got to be honest, I do really, really like it.
Absolutely. And Keith, Aintree next week, and we'll see you there.
Yes, I'll be coming. Keels is coming up and I'm going down.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to be there. Love Liverpool.
Wonderful stuff. Right. We'll be back to preview every single day. Thanks for watching. Good night. God bless. Have a good weekend.